last sentence up there. We are all just a work in progress. I like that because that's me. I am a work in progress, and I am so thankful that we worship a God who is patient with his works in progress. Welcome, New Hope, on a nice, crisp Sunday morning. It is great to have everybody here. And for those of you joining at home, it is great to have you with us as well. We started a few weeks ago a series called Thrive, which is about growing in the midst of adversity. And that is what we get the opportunity to choose to do, to grow in the midst of adversity. So last week, we really dug into the strategy of taking our thoughts captive, tracking down those negative thought patterns that we deal with, and recognizing that we don't have to listen to those things. We don't have to be governed by thoughts that go through our head, especially if those thoughts are negative, especially if those thoughts are accusing us. We don't have to do that. So I mentioned the identity that I had when I was younger, growing up, even into young adulthood and to where I'm at now, because I had chosen food as my comfort. That had become the thing that I used to bring comfort, to comfort myself. I had taken on the persona or the identity of I'm a fat guy while I'm big, and when I would lose weight, I'm just a fat guy in a skinny guy's body. Either way, my thought process was that I'm a fat guy. And what I started to live with was, that's just the way I am. And I want to start challenging that thought this morning, because a lot of us start to live with that thought process. It's just the way I am. That is one of those thoughts that I want us to start taking captive and start making obedient to Christ, because that is not from God. That is absolutely not from God. Now, I will say this. Body size does not determine whether I am liked by God. Amen? Amen. Thank you very much. That has nothing to do with it. But our body size will oftentimes tell us what our dependencies are. And while God doesn't love me any less when I weigh 250 pounds, when I weigh 250 pounds, that tells me that my dependence is going back to being on food. It reveals where my dependence is. God doesn't love me less, but it reveals what's going on inside of my heart. I'm choosing a substance to make myself comfortable. This is an issue of my desire to control my emotions. I want to control my tendency that I developed when I was a kid was I want to control my emotions based on making myself feel comfortable with food. That became a dependency to the point now where sugar has held a control over me that I am tired of that substance in that control in my life. Now, it's not just sugar. We all have lots of dependencies. I was shopping yesterday. Isaac and I went shopping, my son Isaac and I, and I went by the, we were in Aldi's, and I went by the Coke display. And something hit me as I walked past that thing. It talked to me. That Coke said, come get some. I know that when I start drinking soda pop, I don't just drink one. Is there anything immoral about drinking soda pop? No. Is there something wrong with me choosing that as a dependency? Yes. What struck me is that that bottle of Coke was almost like a pacifier. I suck on that thing like a baby sucks on a pacifier to comfort itself. A lot of us have dependencies. It is your pacifier. That cigarette is your pacifier. It's time to put the binky in the mouth because I can't deal with my anxiety. Food was my binky. Shopping, for some people, our credit card is our binky. We have lots of these things that we get to decide whether we're going to continue to suck on them like little babies because we've not learned how to deal with the emotions that come, or we start to learn how to recognize that emotions are going to come, they're going to hit me like a wave of the ocean, and they're going to go away. I'm not going to be swamped by them. They're going to come and they're going to go away. And I'm going to choose to not be dependent on something that deadens those emotions. This morning, I want us to really dig into questioning our enslavements as just the way life is, just the way I am. I would like for us to begin to think about what does having the courage to set this stuff down and to let the emotions come and to let the emotions go and finally allow God to be our comforter. That is a strategy worth going after. Got some fill-ins for us. The first ones we're going to look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It's up on the screen. It says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Every time we pick up whatever that is that we are bound to, we are doing just that. And we don't have to. Our first fill in the blank says this: "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." He did not set you free so that you'd have to continue to go back to cigarettes. He did not set us free so that we would have to go back to pornography. That's not why he set us free. He set us free so that we can be what? Free. Free. Free from that stuff. Good place for an amen. How many of you were here last week, by a show of hands? You were here last week. Good. How many of you last week chose to start taking your thoughts captive and making them obedient to Christ? Put your hands up. You joined the battle. Well done. How many of you, by the same show of hands, how many of you recognized that while you were being tempted or talked to or whatever, you were in the midst of a spiritual battle? Put your hands up if that was you. Well done. Well done. That is how we fight. That is spiritual warfare. That is how we stick up for ourselves. This is what threatens the enemy of our souls. Because until we start doing this, we're weak and we're lazy. And we do no good to the kingdom of God until we start fighting. Now, those of us who chose not to, we're a lot like, how many of you guys have seen the movie The Patriot with Mel Gibson? Some of us have seen, powerful movie. Benjamin Martin is the lead character, Mel Gibson. He is a citizen and a soldier that lives in South Carolina. It's at the time of the Revolutionary War. So the British have come, they're invading, and a lot of the colonies are beginning to declare war against Great Britain. Benjamin Martin has been called by the South Carolina legislature, and he is now, he shows up, they're on the floor, they're debating as to whether they're going to declare war, whether they're not going to declare war. Benjamin Martin stands up, and he begins explaining why he doesn't want to join the fight. I want to watch a little clip here, so let's take a look at this.
I understood you to be patriot.
If you mean by patriot, am I angry about taxation without representation? Well, yes, I am. Should the American colonies govern themselves independently? I believe they can, and they should. But if you're asking me, am I willing to go to war with England? Well, then the answer is most definitely no.
This from the same Captain Benjamin Martin, whose fury was so famous during the Wilderness Campaign.
I was intemperate in my youth.
Temperance can be a convenient disguise for fear.
Mr. Middleton, I fought with Captain Martin under Washington in the French and Indian War. There's not a man in this room, or anywhere for that matter, to whom I would more willingly trust my life.
Hear, hear.
There are alternatives to war. We take our case before the king. We plead with him.
Yes, we've tried that.
Well, then we try again and again, if necessary, to avoid a war.
Benjamin, I was at Bunker Hill. The British advanced three times, and we killed over 700 of them at point-blank range, and still they took the ground. That is the measure of their resolve. Now, if your principles dictate independence, then war is the only way. It has come to that.
I have seven children. My wife is dead. Now, who's to care for them if I go to war?
Wars are not fought only by childless men.
Granted. But mark my words. This war will be fought not on the frontier or on some distant battlefield, but amongst us, among our homes. Our children will learn of it with their own eyes. And the innocent will die with the rest of us. I will not fight. And because I will not fight, I will not cast a vote that will send others to fight in my stead.
And your principles?
I'm a parent. I haven't got the luxury of principles.
Our children and our grandchildren see the battle raging around them in our homes. We show them what the battle looks like, whether we choose to pick up a weapon or whether we choose not to. They see the kind of soldiers that we are as parents, as grandparents. For those of you that don't have kids, your friends see the measure of Christianity in your example. People around us learn how to fight by watching us. Do they see us fighting with other people? Do they see us gossiping? Do they see us depending on things that are not God? If they do, we are choosing to lay down our weapons and we are choosing to get stepped on by the enemy that hates us, that has such malice in his heart for us. And we just let him walk over us. That is not what we have been called to do. If we are believers, if we have accepted Jesus Christ into our heart, if we have asked him to forgive us of our sins, and if we desire to be in heaven with him after we die, part of the battle happens, a big part of that battle happens now in how we live and how we choose to operate in the world as this spiritual world is flying all around us and is fighting all around us. We choose to pick up our weapons and live in freedom, like it said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. So what does this look like? Let's take a peek over to our next scripture passage. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. It says, we are designed, it says this, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Our fill in the blank says this, we are designed to use our freedom to love and serve others. That's why God gave us freedom. Not to hole up in our homes and just be there by ourselves. We are designed to use our freedom to love and serve people. That's how people around us see who Jesus is, through our example. If we don't live out his example around people, they don't see it. They miss it. And we have missed our opportunity to be influencers to people around us. But I'm not a leader. If you have somebody you know, you are a leader because you have influence. Leadership is influence, no more, no less. Leadership is influence. If you know people, you have some influence. And if you are willing to walk in obedience and love and serve people, you are representing Jesus Christ to the world. And people see it. And some people might say, I like what she's doing. That's interesting what I see him doing. I want to know more about that. When we see our friends and our family members trapped, we help them. We fight for them, which means first we have to choose to decide to fight for ourselves. God doesn't abandon us. If you have a dependency, he's promised that he will be with us. He's promised that he would walk with you, walk inside of you. In order to do this, we have to make a choice to take off our old self and put on the new self. And this is where this starts. I want us to look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. I really want us to focus in on this last part, because this, where we're going to go in these next few minutes, this is game changer stuff. This is life changer stuff. When we decide to really get sold out to this process, I want to talk about. He says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. That means that we are intentionally taking those old thoughts captive, and we are choosing to set our minds on things above, on other things. We are choosing to set our minds on obedience. This is a reality that I see in the counseling office a lot, and it's really unfortunate. What I see oftentimes are moms, wives, and girlfriends showing up for counseling without their men, because the men are too cowardly to deal with their issues. And so moms are forced to be mom and dad at home. And moms were never meant to carry that burden. For if you are in this room, and if you are a father, or if you are a grandfather, it is your responsibility when you brought a child into this world to be the spiritual leader of that child. That is not Dominic's job. That is your job. If you are going to bring children into this world, you raise them up and you lead them spiritually. You lead them and you show them what a relationship with God looks like because you live it out. And then you tell them about it. And you teach them how to do that. That is what God has called us as men to do. Maybe you're not a dad, but maybe you have other men that you influence. Show them. Show them what a relationship with God looks like by your lifestyle. Lay down the things that you're dependent on and show them what it looks like to live in freedom, to live in power. Walk in the authority that you have because the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. Walk in the authority of the Holy Spirit who is living inside of you. And live out the freedom that God has blessed you with. I'm a little passionate about this because I sit in this counseling office and I watch this happen day after day after day. Moms wishing that their husbands would man up and lead their children. Wives wishing that their husbands would man up and lead them. And yet they go passive. I can't lead. I don't know how. I'm afraid to look foolish. I'm afraid to say the wrong thing. What a joke! Take those thoughts captive. Make those thoughts obedient to Christ. If you don't know how to do it, then ask. I'm afraid to ask. I'm afraid to look foolish. Suck it up, men. That's what we were called to do. Yes. That's what we were called to do. How would our world be different if men were acting in a way that pleased God? I hate the term baby daddy. It's sick. Is sick. Because men were not meant to be baby daddies. They were meant to be fathers. So we intentionally take these thoughts captive. If you were here last week, you saw this on the board. This was, for me, this was my process. As I shared last week, I moved around a lot when I was a kid, and I ended up in a little town in northwestern Iowa, in a farming town, and I did not fit in, and I just was so uncomfortable. It wasn't a good spot for me because of my personality, and it caused me to have lots of different really negative thought processes. I started to believe I'm not a tough person. I don't fit. The people here are scary. I have to escape. I hate this life. These were the thought patterns that I developed as a kid, and these thought patterns led all the way through my life to the point where I can see where I started to use food for me. I started to use food as my as the thing that made me comfortable. And I got into some other stuff that I talked about last week. Our job is to start taking these thoughts captive. Whenever I have these thoughts, I want to take this thought captive, and I want to take this thought captive, and this one, and this one, and this one. And as I take these thoughts captive, I start to kill these thoughts off, which then everything, all of my actions, all of the beliefs, all the habits and lifestyles on the other side start to die off. But I have to go after my thought life first. When I kill those thoughts off, everything starts to change. The other thing that happens is I start to isolate. As I kill this stuff, I isolate this wound or this situation, which then in time God will bring me back to this. I can't really deal with this right now when I have all of these negative thought patterns, because as soon as I start thinking about this, phew, my mind takes off with all that negative stuff. But in time, when I kill this stuff off with God's help, he brings me back here. He pokes a hole in this thing. All of the emotions drain out of that. That's called the mourning process. And God brings me there when he's ready. And as that mourning process happens, now I'm able to come back here. If this is a person that's hurt me deeply, now I learn how to forgive that person, because all of that emotion is no longer surrounding that event. Now I can come and I can use this event to start to have different kinds of thoughts. I start taking this, let's say, I take this this thought captive. I hate this life. Every time I have that thought, I not only want to take that thought captive, now what I also want to do is I want to replace that. I want to replace that with a different thought. Now, I could stand in the mirror and give myself affirmations all day long. For those of you who are like Saturday Night Live fans from back in the 80s and 90s, you remember Stuart Smalley? Yeah, he sits there and looks in the mirror. I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. What? That's not what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about is I take this thought captive. I hate this life. I make this thought obedient to Christ, and now I want to replace that with, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's me. Every time I have this thought, I take that thought captive and I start to put in God's word into my mind. For my eating thing, for me, the way this works is, when I'm walking by, I see the Coke display and it's talking to me. Come on, get some. I say, no, I take this thought captive, make this thought obedient to Christ, and I renew my mind with, man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. I take that thought captive because my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in me, who I have received from God. I am not my own. I was bought with a price. Therefore, I will honor God with my body. That's how we renew our mind. We get rid of the old stuff and we bring in the new stuff, which means you have to be in your Bibles. You have to know what God's word says. If you don't know what God's word says, you don't know what his message is for you. Now you're just giving yourself affirmations. But when we learn God's word, we're taking out these thoughts. And we're putting in new thoughts. I am now renewing my mind. Our last fill in the blank. If we have been raised up with Christ, we set our minds on things above, not on the things of this earth. And when we start to do this, things change. Now, if we aren't doing this, if we are continuing to pick up those old things and put that stuff in our mouth, when we keep going back to our dependencies, now we start living as it says in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 11, which says this: as a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. When you pick up that dependency and stick it in your mouth, you are like a dog that's returning to its vomit and eating it back up. Because everything that God forgave you of, everything that God desired to purge out of your body, when you go back and pick it back up, you are like a dog coming right back to where it threw up, and you're going to eat it. You're going to put it right back in. That's not what he called us to do. He said, lay it down for a reason. It's poison. It becomes an idol. We are also to choose obedience. This is where things really get tasty. Because, let me see if I can. For me, this was where things really started to change. when I started to choose obedience, I've got this old stronghold that's still there. But not only did I start taking these thoughts captive, I started killing these thoughts off. The other thing I started to do was I absolutely dove into my relationship with God. When I dove into this relationship, everything changed. Everything changed. Because what started to happen was I started to develop new thoughts. I started to build new positive strongholds in my mind. As I really got into this, I started having new emotions. I am loved. I'm loved just as I am. I am forgiven. I can be open with people. I was isolation guy. I was go home, shut the door, turn on Simon and Garfunkel, and I'm fine. That's not what he desired. I started to develop new thoughts. He knows and he loves me anyway. I want more of this relationship. I want to be different. My thoughts started to change, which then led me up to, I want to pursue growth. I want to grow in this relationship with God. Then that started to develop a new set of emotions. There's confidence now. There's empowerment. I felt empowered. Never had that before. That's a good feeling. Some of us don't feel very empowered. A man who doesn't feel empowered, there's problems. That's going to work its way out in some really, really negative ways. When I started to work on this, I started to have these other new thoughts. I want to try new stuff. I have a future. Reality is better than fantasy. I like how this feels. God is pleased with me. Never had that before. That's a good feeling. And now there's all these new wonderful emotions that are like crockpotting in my mind. This is good. This relationship with God also led me to something else. I was still dealing with the eating stuff here. Then he led me to this wonderful thing called CrossFit. Changed my life. Absolutely changed my life. Everything changed in the enslavement that I had to food when he showed me this. This was something I absolutely know that God brought into my life. Because now I started to have more of these empowerment thoughts. I'm healthy. I never felt healthy before in my life. I feel healthy. I have potential. I started to have other kinds of thoughts. I'm strong. I'm capable of more than I thought that I could ever do. This happened because of the relationship with God. Because of that took me to pursuing growth. This then brought me to another amazing place, which was I learned that vegetables don't suck. I didn't ever believe that. That's something that I just never thought that I would ever buy into. I eat green peppers now. Yeah, they're not bad. Onions, they're not bad. Broccoli, carrots. I ate carrots. I hadn't eaten carrots my whole life. I chopped up carrots and ate them the other day. All of these things began, they continued the process of changing my mind. It's all a process, mind, body, spirit. It's all a part of the same thing. Everything, though, changed when I dive into this relationship with God. It changed everything. Now, the last thing I want to hit on is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Because sometimes, even as when we're clipping along here, the enemy can find a way in, and he can bring issues into our life that we just hate, and we just can't seem to kick it. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Sometimes we're going to need each other. This is a really good place to be. I got a message this week, got a couple messages this week, actually, from us, from some of us, that said, I'm in the middle of a really tough situation. Will you pray for me? There was an honesty that was communicated to me in those messages that was beautiful. The person texted me later on, we made it, did good. That's the way it's supposed to be. There's a small group of guys that meet on Thursday nights. And there's two out of the three other ones are here. So Jesse and Ed, would you please come here for just a minute? When we get in that situation, our job is to find people that we can depend on. For those of you who are in a small group, I want you to stand up. Everybody who's in a small group, stand up. Let's go back to back. Yes, yes. When we live this way, we always got someone who's got our back. This is a good place to be. Because I'm standing up for myself, but I also got guys who are standing up who got my back. Okay, you can sit down. For those of you who aren't standing up, you're missing out. There is an area of friendship and blessedness that you're missing out on. When you have brothers and sisters who care about you, and are willing to have your back, there is an empowerment that comes that is not there otherwise. If you are not a part of a small group, please, please, and you would like to, please say something, find me afterwards, and I can help you get into a group. We are here to learn how to live in freedom. How we do that, take our thoughts captive, replace the old thoughts with the new thoughts, choose obedience, and then reach out to other people that got your back. Let's pray. Dear God, we are so thankful that you love us. We are so thankful that you blessed us with the ability to hold on to you, and to depend on each other. Father, I pray that you would continue to teach us how to live in freedom in whatever areas where we are still bound up in our sin. Father, please empower us to walk away from those things. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your gentleness. Thank you for giving us sisters and brothers that care about us and that are willing to walk with us. In your name, amen.